Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up? This your boy, Adrian Reese, and you're tuning in to The Recruit, brought to you by Sword Radio. Big ups to my man, PDP Richardson, for putting us on, paving the way. And before we get into anything, we'd like to go ahead and start it off like we always do with a word of prayer and welcoming God into what we're doing and what we're about to do. So if everybody out there, if you would, just bow your head. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we come to you today, God, saying thank you, first of all, God. Thank you for all of your many blessings you bestowed upon our lives, God. Those that we see with the natural eye and those that we cannot see, Father God. We thank you for your provision, for continuing to watch over us, God. We ask you to watch over this moment, Father God, that you've allowed us to come together. And just bless everything that's said on this show, God. Ask you to forgive us for our sins, all that we know and that we don't know, Lord, that was a sin, Father God. We ask you to just teach us and grow us in you. Watch over our hearts, Lord. Word our mouths, Father God, and speaking on your behalf, Lord. Allow us to be instruments, Lord, for you, that you may be heard and not us, Father God. As you just watch over me as well as both of my guests, Father God, to just speak through us, Lord. Allow us to be vessels for you, God. Allow someone to surrender their life to you, come to know you, Lord, personally and intimately on tonight, God. Whoever it is that may have strayed or drifted away from you, Lord, allow them to come to know you and seek to draw near to you on tonight, Father God. I ask you just do your thing, Lord, and work everything out, Lord. Remove anything that's not like you, God. And just allow you to be here, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And we got a good show for you tonight. This is the season finale of season one for The Recruit. So I got two very special guests on with me tonight. It's the first time we had a kind of a little panel, I would say. But we got two guests on with me tonight, previous guests from earlier shows, so they're no strangers to The Recruit and the process and the things that we do here. But I got my man Jaquez Reese. This is Jaquez Reese and my beautiful fiance, soon-to-be Mrs. Reese, Mrs. Nichon Taylor. No hyphen, Reese. What's going on, y'all?
I'm good. Glad to be here.
How you doing, Mrs. Jaquez? No, I'm good. And, you know, you guys can hear and feel the energy in their voice and in the room. And we're excited. I'm excited to have them in studio. And like I said, this is our season finale because the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 3:1 that there is a season for everything, a time and a season for everything. And, you know, this show tonight brings to a conclusion the end of season one for The Recruit. And just wanted to have a couple of guests on who had been on the show before to come back and just to send us off, close it out on the right note. And just kind of recapping everything that's taking place and how, you know, I've seen God move through The Recruit and everything that's done and different guests that have been on and just different testimonies that we heard. But it's all, you know, done for the glory of God. And just in looking back over the season one, one of the things that I wanted to, you know, put before my two guests was asking if there was anything, what have we taken away from the first season of The Recruit, if anything. And I know, you know, for me personally, it's my favorite scripture has always been Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And doing this show, The Recruit, it's really, you know, brought that to life for me. Because I had no experience in doing radio or anything like that or like this before The Recruit came about. But and it took me just really putting aside what I wanted to do or didn't want to do and just saying yes to what God was opening the door for. And in doing that, you know, in doing The Recruit and everything that's taking place in season one of The Recruit, it showed me that I really can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because that's who gives me the power, the ability, the words to say every single week. It's Jesus Christ. You know, he led me in doing it, and he's led me every step of the way. I believe this is show number 16, and 16 weeks straight, you know, God has consistently done his thing. and I'm just faithful for it. And so just in something that I've taken away from the recruit, the first season at least, is just that, you know, that I truly can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I believed that before, but I believe it even more now. And so I would just pose that question for my two guests. What is it that you guys have taken away from season one, if anything? And for the ladies, I'll let the lady go first for a second since I already answered. But, Michonne, what have you taken away from season one?
Well, I would say probably just that it's cool to know that there are other people out there who are living for Christ, who have a heart for God, and who are in their everyday lives putting the Lord first. All of the testimonies that were given over the course of the 16 weeks and just seeing the Lord work miracles in each and every life, each and every guest that was on the show is very inspiring for me to hold fast to God's promises and, you know, trust and believe that what he said he'll do, he'll do. And I remember when Mrs. Reese, Adrian's mom.
Mama, what up?
Was, little shout out. Was on the show, and she spoke about being diagnosed with cancer several times. And what an incredible testimony that was for me, being a woman and maybe having those scares in the future, just to continue to look to the Lord for the final say. And I think that that probably has been my biggest lesson in The Recruit, and the biggest thing that I'll take away from The Recruit is that the Lord is faithful in all of the lives of his children and that he is working all around us. Sometimes I think it seems like we're the only ones going through, or we're the only ones that sometimes are on this earth, and the Lord doesn't see us and he's forgotten about us, and you know, we're struggling. But when you hear the testimony of others, when you hear the journey that others have been through and the journey that others are currently on, it for me, it helped to encourage me and to inspire me to continue to live for the Lord and to also speak up and be more bold, like Adrian always says at the end of the show, to truly be a recruiter for Christ. Mm-hmm. So that's how it's impacted me in my life.
That's great to hear because, you know, I remember that show. Just it was special to me just because it had my mama, mm-hmm. and it was the week of Mother's Day, and just having her on and already knowing her testimony, but just in kind of her sharing it even more, it's always powerful every time,
mm-hmm.
every time I hear it. And it was just a great show, and it was a great encouragement to me, not only to me, but it's great to hear that it was an encouragement to you. And so what about you, Jaquiz? What have you taken away from or enjoyed about season one?
Well, a big thing that impacted me is when we had Antonio Thompson on the show, and he talked about his testimony of how he came from being in the club and doing drugs and other stuff before he gave his life to Christ. And that shows that Christ is real for other people, because today people want to question if God is real or not. And that was a good example of he is real, because he brought Antonio from being in the club and doing drugs to being a pastor or being in a church all the time. So that's what impacted me a lot, because I feel like now that I know that he actually helped somebody, it kind of helps me want to be like Antonio, because he has come from a lot of things to a better place now.
And that, you know, that's awesome to hear, because, you know, Jaquez, he's a teenager, and he's the voice. They are our future. And for him to draw encouragement and, you know, draw encouragement to be bold and speak on what Christ has done and is currently doing and Christ's capabilities. You know, he's we so many times limit what God can do, and he's a limitless God. And that's amazing, man, just to hear that. And so does that encourage you just in going forward, sharing your testimony and just continuing to grow?
Well, yes, it does. I mean, I'm only 14 years old. I don't have a lot in my past.
Soon to be 15, shout-out, birthday Saturday. I just want to put that in there.
Well, yeah, I don't really have a lot in my past like he did, but I feel like since I know that he's came from a bad place, I can stay away from those bad places.
Yeah.
Knowing that he has made it out.
Yeah, man, and that's exactly what it, that's what it's all about. And the Bible tells us that we're overcome by the words of our testimony. And but if we never share them, how can anybody else know, or how can anybody else draw strength and encouragement from it? And that's one of the things that the recruit wants to be about, just really encouraging others, being another way, another instrument, another vessel to encourage others that, hey, whatever, regardless of the situation you're in, currently in, or have been through, or kind of see on the horizon, God is able. You know, there's nothing he can't do.
And I think a really cool thing, too, is that the recruit was able to highlight a lot of the seasons that we're going into. So for Jaquez, Antonio had already gone through a season that Jaquez had seen, or is, you know, in the process of seeing, with the temptation of drugs and maybe the temptation of the club and all the different things that, like you said, he would try to avoid. And with Miss Reese, you know, she's already in the season that I'm going into, and being a wife and being a mother and stuff. And, you know, even when Dr. T was on the show, you know, he is a successful man of God, and he's a husband and a father. And I think it's a really cool aspect of the show to be able to look to people who have gone ahead of us and to learn from their journey and to be able to apply that practically in our lives. So I think it's really cool that we are able to hear that every week, and it's kind of like having a mentor in our lives without necessarily having a real mentor.
And that's I'm glad you said that, you know, that, because so many times we look at a mentor, or we think about a mentor, and I remember talking about that with Simeon Wynn when he was a guest on the show, just the need of for mentors, but how a lot of times we only associate a mentor to someone who we know personally, and how, you know, yes, that we do need those mentors that we can go to, or we can call in times of need, or times when we need, you know, instruction or wisdom or wise counsel. But a mentor can also come in the form of someone that you don't have a personal relationship with. And just like you said, just in hearing Dr. T or someone on the radio, or maybe you watching something on TV, or you know someone to be successful and you read up on their bio and just draw encouragement from that and kind of emulate what they've done. You know, that's a way of mentoring. And so many times, I think with that, there's times when we may be mentors ourselves to people and don't even know it, because people are always watching. They may be watching from close, nearby, or from afar, and we don't know. But in some way, what we're doing is somewhat affecting them, and we're mentoring somebody.
Like my little brother, I got a six-year-old brother. My mom's always saying that he's watching what I do. And I've made bad decisions in the past, and he's saw me do it, and now he's kind of picking up on the thing. And I never really understood what she meant until I saw Aiden or my little brother do it, the things that I did. So, I mean, it does make a big impact on the people around you.
And it does. And like you said, that wasn't really on the forefront of your mind that, hey, Aiden's watching me, and he's probably going to do what I do. But, I mean, even you having your older brother, Justin, I mean, you can remember when you were Aiden's age and you're watching Justin. And some of the things he did, you probably do. And some of the things that you saw him avoid, you knew to avoid. Or, you know, knowing you probably did them anyway. But, I mean, no, I'm just saying. But, just having those people in front of you, or hearing their testimonies to be able to relate, because everybody has a past. And I believe it was Warren Buffett who said that, who's quoted as to saying that every saint has a past, every sinner has a future. And, you know, that's powerful in itself, because we all have came from something. We've all came through something. We're all going through something now. But, you know, just because we're a believer now, there was once a time when we weren't, when we were a part of the world. And, you know, it's important for us to not get caught up in, you know, constantly pointing at, well, the world is, without remembering, hey, we were once there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have a past. And I know me personally, I have a past. Mm-hmm. And that's something I have to constantly remind myself, oh, yeah. I'm showing up here in real loud. But, yeah, you know, I do. I do have a past, but, you know, and that's something I have to remember. And that's a way to checking myself. It's a reality check to remind me, hey, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect now, and I sure wasn't perfect before. But in Christ, I have a perfect Savior, and that's what matters, and it's available to us all. But I think that's something that we a lot of us want to know is how do we take the reproof into our everyday lives? How do we recruit others to Christ in our everyday lives? How does that look? And you know, I think it's more so of just kind of answering my own question. I think it's more so of the it's not always us quoting Bible verses, quoting scriptures, but just being real. And that's something that the recruit tries to hone in on, just real life people, everyday people. Just being real and sharing their real testimony, real stories, because that's how you draw people in when they feel like they can relate. And they're like, oh, well, yeah, I feel what he's talking about, and I know exactly where he is and how he's feeling and all this or whatever it may be. But it's just being real. And even on the show last week with Antonio Thompson being on, and he's a pastor now, but he was saying how so many times his ministry is not done behind the pulpit. Is done, you know, outside of the four walls of the church. And he mentioned how so many people come up to him and say, well, man, you know, even though you're a pastor now, you still, you know, you wear tennis shoes. Like, I thought you were supposed to wear, you know, hard bottoms and square toes and all this. You're a preacher, wear slacks, shirt tucked in, but, you know, you still wear jeans, you wear Jordans. And, you know, even in him wearing a do-rag, you know, just because he's a preacher and he's saved doesn't mean he still don't want to keep his hair tight. And so just him wearing a do-rag, something like that, it may cause somebody else, another guy who has on a do-rag, to feel comfortable to talk to you because he doesn't look at you as someone who may look down on him. He looks at you as, oh, well, he kind of just like me, not even knowing that, hey, you're saved, you're a believer, or you're a preacher. But that opens the door to be able to minister, to be able to recruit, because of the way that, hey, you're just being real, just being you. So, you know, Michelle, what do you think about how are we able to recruit in our everyday lives? How are we able to take the show and what the show embodies and apply it practically in our everyday lives?
Well, before I answer that question, I would like for you to tell our audience who might not know, what exactly is a do-rag? I'm kidding.
Come on,
man. The way that, I think the best way to take the recruit into the world, from my perspective, is walking it out, you know, living it, not always, like Adrian said, you don't always have to throw Bible verses at people and, you know, paint this portrait of yourself that you're perfect, because we know that we're not. We're perfect in Christ, but we are being sanctified every day. But just walking it out, you know, showing kindness when the other person isn't kind, being forgiving, being loving, you know, those fruits of the Spirit, allowing the Lord to make a change in us so that the world can see that change and really question, what is it that you have? Whatever it is that you have, I want it. And looking for those opportunities of, you know, talking about Christ. I remember Adrian and I had went to dinner with one of our older mentor couples, and they found the opportunity to ask our waitress about what church she went to and what her spiritual life was like, just in showing an interest in her life. And I remember hearing a while ago, I think I was in college, someone saying, you know, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And so really being that love of Christ in the world and not coming across as condemning anything like that, but just being the love that Christ showed to the world. And I feel like you naturally draw people to yourself to where they want what you have. And so just walking it out and being the change that you want to see, I would say, and being bold and speaking about Christ and looking for those opportunities.
And also another thing is you can encourage other people around the world. A lot of people think of being a Christian as challenging, because it's a challenging thing to do, to stay true to your word. And most people just need a little boost, somebody to care for them and encourage them so they can go farther into the word.
And that's exactly it. That's what we're here to do. That's why God tells us that we are all part of the same body, but we all play different roles. We all have different tasks to carry out, but every part of the body helps the other part. And, you know, that's what we're here to do, just like you said, Jaquez, to encourage people. But sometimes encouragement, I can remember the show when Brian Duncan was on, and he was saying how he just walked into a restaurant one night, and he just had a huge smile on his face. And a random stranger, came up to him and asked him, you know, and just kind of sparked up a conversation, asked him why he's smiling and all of this, and that was a time that he was able to minister. Not in the sense of, like Michonne said, not throwing the word at him or, you know, quoting scriptures, but just telling him, hey, you know, this is going on there, but, hey, I'm still here. And having a positive outlook, but it all started with just a smile. And Brian B. Dunk, he was saying how that guy, you know, he went ahead and kind of admitted to him and shared his story with him that he was, he had already had thoughts of suicide, and on that night he came to know Christ. But that all started with just a smile on B. Dunk's face. And so, just like Jaquez said, that encouragement, it comes in every form, you know. And as Christians, there's no point in us walking around with our head hung down. We have no reason to. We're saved, and, you know, we're saved in every way, in every dynamic of that word. We are saved from whatever is going on around us. We're protected. We're fighting a fixed fight, you know, however it may look. Because sometimes in us walking around and all frowned up and all this, and people ask us, well, how's it going? Well, you know, the devil did this, the devil did that, for God's name. I'm like, well, you know, does that really make me want to go live for God? To know that you're going through all this, or if that's the first thing that comes out of our mouth. But to simply just smile. And just enjoy life and encourage other people along the way.
And I think that starts to the best thing that we can do to recruit people for Christ, honestly, is to have our personal relationship with the Lord in order, you know, our quiet time in order, our one-on-one time with the Lord consistently, because that's where we get our joy, that's where we get our satisfaction, and that's where we find rest and peace. So when troubles of life are coming up around us and raging, just like B. Dunk, he had other things in life that were going on, but he still had a smile on his face, and he had that because he had the joy of the Lord. So sometimes I feel like we go out and we try to do all of this and be all that the Word has called us to be, but we are running on fumes. We're not allowing the Lord to fill us up with His love daily by getting into our Word and praying. We're going on fumes, but when we are diligent about our time with the Lord, everything else is just overflow. We're able to love people. We're able to be cheerful. We're able to be joyful even when circumstances say differently. So I would say that is a great place to start when it comes to showing the world, taking the recruit to the world.
And this is, you know, that's where we have to start. Just like you said, that's a great starting point, because at the end of the day, it's an individual affair. And what I mean by that is that we have to make up in our minds for ourselves. You know, I can't make the heaven off of mama, because mama living right and mama is saved and mama is a believer. But it's something that I have to do, and that's what the recruit embodies, because just like that's why we do the prayer at the end of every show and offer, you know, and do the invitation to Christ to allow individuals to commit their lives to Christ. Because just like with committing to anything, and I can remember being recruited and going to college when I was being recruited for school, and, you know, I'm a personal trainer. I tell the kids all the time that, you know, scholarships, they don't give them out to good teams. Mm-hmm. They give them out to good players, and it's an individual thing. And it's the same thing with living for Christ. It's not just because you're hanging around other people who are saved, other people who are committed to Christ, doesn't mean that, okay, I'm good because I'm hanging around the right type of people. But are you a believer? Do you have your relationship right with Christ? And that's exactly it, Michelle. Just like you said, making sure that, hey, we're walking it out. We're putting feet to our faith, and we're doing what the Bible tells us to do and living the Word. And it's something, you know, that can't be more evident today of how, and I say today, but really over these last few months, but also just over the last few years and everything that's going on around the world and all of the, whether it's a natural disaster with the weather and right now all of the floods that are going on in Texas, just in the Dallas area, in the Metroplex, and everything that's going on around the world, just in watching the news today, how in Arizona, you know, it's so hot down there. It's the other extreme there. It's where it's so hot that, you know, there's wildfires breaking out and people having to evacuate. But here in Texas, we're evacuating for the opposite reason. It's too much water. It's too much rain. There's not enough there. But then over the last few months with all of the killings, we talk about race and all of this with battling race. And then on yesterday with the tragedy in South Carolina, in Charleston, South Carolina, at the church where, for everybody who doesn't know, that there was a guy, a shooter that came into a church and killed 9 people, including the pastor of that church. And there, you know, there's speculation that it was a hate crime and it was a white gunman and it was a black church. But at the same time, you know, that really shows us why we need to know for sure and have our lives right with Christ. Because we never know. We never know. Today may be our last day, but have we lived with purpose? Have we lived on purpose? And is our heart right? Are we confident to know that, hey, when my time is up, that I've done all I can for Christ, and I know where my resting place will be? Mm-hmm. And, you know, those people who were at the church, the pastor included, in South Carolina, there's no way they went in knowing, okay, I'm about to take my last breath. But look where, it's sad it took place in the church. You know, that something like that will happen in the church, that someone has a heart and a mind and a desire to do that, to take someone else's life, especially in the church and so many people, innocent people. But, and I really wanted to get you guys' thoughts on that. You know, how does that make you feel? Where does that take your mind?
I think for me, it was just very, caught me off guard. You know, me and my mother talked about it this morning, and she kind of caught me up on the news. And my heart was just very, very grieved for the people who were involved and who lost their lives, and just kind of in disbelief a little bit that, you know, we hear about the tragedies that are going on in the schools and the movie theaters and at the pool. And, you know, it's like no place is off limits. You know, it's like no place is safe in a sense. And so for me, my immediate thought was, man, I just need to pray, because I think that a lot of times with so many hate crimes going on, it's easy to get down in your spirit, you know, and start feeling like, where's the hope, and where's God, and
yeah,
where was he
point?
when that happened? And it's so easy to take that perspective, and if we don't refocus our hearts and really get in our Word and pray and ask the Lord to change our minds, it's so easy to go down that path and seek vengeance and seek revenge. And so it was really difficult for me, and some of me and my friends this morning were texting about it and wanting to just pray for them and their families and all of that. But I think the biggest thing that we wanted to do was remember that we serve an all-knowing God, and we serve an all-loving God, and we know that there is purpose in everything, and even though some things are hard, it's hard for us to understand, the word literally says that our ways are not his ways, our thoughts are not his thoughts, and just hoping and praying that the ones that were murdered in the church knew the Lord, had a relationship with the Lord, and were walking uprightly, and that we would take, have justice for their death, but also just remember the family of the shooter, and remember that he has a family too, and they are probably rocked to their core, and remembering who we are. I remember at church this past weekend, the pastor encouraged us to pray for the police officer that all of the incidents that happened in McKinney with the young teenage girl being thrown around. He encouraged us to pray for the police officer, which everyone was more mad at him. And so that's kind of the position that I'm wanting to take on today, you know, just being outraged and confused and a little bit disgusted by what happened, but just wanting to allow the Lord's vengeance to be the final say, and to just pray for him, pray for his heart and his spirit, and pray for his family, and also continue to pray for the families that were affected. So.
And that's exactly it. That's what we need to do is, you know, that's how we fight back.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, is to pray, to go to our source of strength, to go to our source of defense. And that's Jesus Christ, because, like I said before, he is our Savior. He is our Savior in whatever, despite whatever the situation may be, and this included. He is the one that protects us. He is all-knowing, just as Michonne, just like you said. But and those believers, those people who lost their lives, they're our teammates. You know, we can sit here and we can talk about the recruit and wanting to drop, you know, recruit people to the team, but what about our current teammates? You know, we can't forget about the people who are already on the team and pray for them and being there for them, just like Jaquez said, you know, encouraging them and our teammates, because sometimes, you know, in any sport, the game gets rough. The game gets rough. And sometimes, you know, there's a shift of momentum to where sometimes you feel like, hey, I don't know, I think we done lost this one. And then at the drop of a hat, now, oh, we got a little hope. But we never know. And we need to be there in those times as a great teammate, being a great teammate, as a fellow commit to just be there to pick them up and be there to pray for them, because those are our teammates. And it's not just a title. It's not just something that's catchy and saying, you know, this is a recruit, but that's something that we need to live by, to not just draw people in, but to love on them and be there with them and pray with them and mourn with them when we get them in. And that's what we need to do for the people in South Carolina, to, you know, for the ones who are there and the friends of the family who can, you know, physically go there and be with them or give their time or their prayers or whatever it may be. Yes, do that. But for us who, you know, we may not know any of them, we're, you know, across the several states away, you know, we can send our prayers. Prayers travel. And they don't need no postage. You know, we apply the stamp just in saying, you know, in Jesus' name. Because in Christ's name, you know, all things are possible. And, you know, I know with the news and being young, you know, I have the time now, I still don't watch the news. But, and I know, like, with you, Jaquez, is that something you hadn't even heard about?
No, I haven't heard anything about it. Yeah, the most important thing is to pray for that family, because they lost a lot. I mean, they lost one of their family members or one of their friends. But like Michonne said, you never know what the shooter is going through.
Mm-hmm.
What he did was wrong, and he shouldn't have did it. He should have handled it a different way, but you still can't. You don't know what he was going through.
And that's exactly it. We don't know we never know what someone is dealing with, and that's all the more reason why, you know, we want to be an encouragement and be a light in whatever way we can, just like we said about being dumb. If you're just simply smiling. Who's to say that had someone not smiled at the shooter and took time to ask him how his day went or how his day was going, not him passing and waited and talked to him, that that could have changed everything. And, you know, I'm not vouching for the shooter or anything like that because, you know, what he did was wrong. We all know that. And, you know, justice needs to be served for it. But at the same time, we look at how can we prevent this in the future, because we don't know where the next shooter is. Nobody knew he was going to do what he did on yesterday. So how can we do our part in preventing it in the future? And that's what, that's our business. That's you know, what we are called to do and should do, is just do our part, pray, and do our part, and let God do his. And our part doesn't always look the same. Our job description isn't always the same. You know, some days it may be smiling, and some days it may be, you know, not just walking by when you say, hey, how you doing, and just keep walking, but actually waiting and listening to how they're doing. Because that may be the difference in you showing them, hey, somebody does care about me. Somebody does care what I'm going through. And they pour their heart out to you, and you're like, man, I would have never thought that. But that's, I mean, that's something that's going on that's real right now. And it's real, but we need some real prayers to go up for them. And that's the action that we can take. So many times we want to protest, but are we praying first? And, you know, I'm not against protesting for the right causes, but at the same time, are we praying first? Is that the first thing we're relying on? And is that the source? Is that what we feel to be the solution? Or are we going to Christ first and being led by Christ to go protest or whatever to do? And I just wanted to, you know, I wanted to talk about that because it is, like I said, it's something that's real. It's something that's real and that's right now, that's going on right now, and that's in the church. And just hearing about how somebody can just literally walk up in the church, my dad is a pastor. You know, Michonne, your dad is a pastor. Jaquez is your grandpa, my dad. And so in thinking about that, my mind goes to, well, what if that was my dad? What if that was my dad in his church and, you know, my mom and other people at my church? How would I feel? You know, and I don't know how I feel. And I honestly don't want to think about it. But that allows my heart to go out to the people who are affected by it, and also to the one who, to the shooter. Just in knowing that, hey, I need to pray for him, because at the end of the day, God created him just like he created me. And the Bible tells us that everything that God created is good. You know, yeah, we make some bad choices, some horrible decisions, but God created us to be good, to serve a good purpose, to have purpose. We all have purpose on our life, and we don't know, it may be, you know, with that guy, he can still, I mean, we talked about it before, how every saint has a past, but every sinner has a future. He's a sinner, what he did was a sin, but at the end of the day, he still has a future. So how can we affect his future? And how can we not overlook our past and understand we made mistakes? And what do we need to do, how we've overcome, in order to help him overcome? And, you know, I just, like I said, with the recruit, that's what we want the show to embody, encouraging others, recruiting people to Christ, but not just drawing them in, but keeping them in, you know, encouraging them while we're here, inspiring other people to be bold and going forward. And this being a season finale, I wanted to get kind of the perspective of others on some things that you guys may want to see going forward, like in season two of the recruit. And if there's anything that you guys may want to see going forward in a recruit, you know, because I say every week, this is not my show, this is our show, and I honestly mean that. But I just want to know, is there anything that you guys would like to see happen in season two?
Yes, I have thoroughly enjoyed season one.
Yeah, I got to excuse her. She over here tripping.
I thoroughly enjoyed season one. But let's get some more women in here. We've been listening to football and working out and basketball recruit season and all that. So I would say we definitely love to hear some more women.
You can talk about my hormones on here.
I know, but, you know, let's get some more. You got more sisters.
Yeah, I know. We got to show love, you know.
So, definitely love the female perspective when they are on. And so we'd love to see that more consistently and to hear more, some more from the ladies. And then also topical things. Maybe next time we can just hear about some things that we are going through or some things that we are struggling with or whatever, and just hear different perspectives on it. So I think that might be some pretty cool things to hear next time.
Okay. Well, duly noted. You know, and like I said, I don't want anybody to feel like we're not open to suggestions. Because in order to recruit, you got to know what the recruit's like and how to draw them in. And, you know, that's what it's all about. But, that's something we need. And I know every time I've had a female on the show, I've learned something. And every guest I've had on the show, I've learned something. But especially females, because it opens my eyes to a perspective that I don't already have. Because being a male, some of the men can come on and say something, and I'm like, yeah, I feel like that all the time. But when a woman comes on and says something, I'm like, I never thought about that. So it opens my eyes and enlightens me. And so, you know, we're going to do our part in having more females and more females in season two.
Appreciate it.
And just moving forward. And you're welcome, baby. I'm learning how to be a good husband, y'all. But our season is coming. But, you know, in from a team's perspective, Jaquez, is there anything you would like to see, whatever it may be, you would like to see the recruit do going forward in season two?
Well, like I touched on last time I was here, a lot of the things we talk about that really team-related, I guess we can more relate it to teams, because a lot of teams probably now, they don't listen to it, they probably don't even know about it. It's more of older men and women than...
You calling me old?
No, older men. Older men.
Okay, good check.
And like I said, a lot of people, a lot of teens, young adults, don't really listen to it because they think they can just push it off until late 30s or early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they think about settling down and going to Christ and all that. But it needs to be now. They need to learn about it now. And like I said, other people need to encourage them to learn now because, like you said, we don't know when our time is up. And it's best to know now than find out later.
And that's exactly it. And I'm glad you said that because we do need to do things to draw our teams in. And, you know, in the next generation, because they are our future. You know, because I can remember when I was recruited, people were saying that about me. I'm the future. I'm part of the future, the next generation. And it's a continuation of that. And, you know, that's something that my mind, I've been giving thought to, you know, even ever since the show started, just how. And, you know, that's why I really emphasize, you know, suggestions. Hit me up, email, whatever it may be. Hit me up on my blog, suggestions that so that the show can get better because it is ours. And I want us to all feel like we can relate. And, you know, even in going forward and having more things for teenagers, and I say for teenagers, but for everybody, but things that are not over the heads of teenagers, because it's not just us that are dealing with things, but making it practical in their lives.
But it is also when older people talk about their experiences, because it lets us teenagers hear about their experience and try to prevent from doing the same things they did. Like I said, it's not a bad thing to listen to the other people's experiences, but it only helps us. It's benefiting us because their experiences, we listen about it and we hear it all the time from older people, and we just hear about it and know not to do it because they've talked about it.
Mm-hmm. And it's, the first time I had Jaquez on the show, I mentioned how he may be my future co-host. But that's something that I've even thought to is just doing a teen hour, to where we really open the lines to teens, and because you know it's for years now, ever since I was little, you know, you go in churches and they're looking for ways to draw in the teens, and you know, in some churches, you know, honestly, we're doing too much. we're trying to reach too far and bring too much into the church in order to draw the teens in. But, you know, there's so many ways that we can just really open the lines of communication to them. And I want to do my part and the show do its part in doing that. And, you know, in going forward with the show and this being our season finale, it's something that God really has opened my eyes to, in just knowing that, yeah, God entrusted me with this show and he entrusted me with my blog and all of that, and, you know, I want to be committed to it. That's something I pride myself in, because I say all the time, my daddy always told me, if a man ain't about his word, he ain't about nothing. And, you know, I gave Pete Richardson my word, I would do the show. And I said, I'm going to do it every week, every Thursday, I'm going to do the same thing on my blog, whatever, whoop-de-whoop. But in serving, you know, at times we can allow ourselves to get overwhelmed and take on too much and do too much, and not saying this show is too much, but there's seasons and times for everything. And even in serving, even when it comes to ministry, we can allow ourselves to kind of get in too deep to where we're no longer able to pour out because we're running on E, as Michelle hinted on. And even in the show, I want this to be really a testament to how we can serve. We don't have to be scared to serve or scared to commit to doing something, whether it's at church, whether it's in a community or anything, thinking that, man, we got to do that forever now. But there's seasons. We can do it and not wear ourselves out. You know, this show is not wearing me out. But there's an off-season in every sport you look at, there's an off-season. That's when you go back and you really go to the drawing board and you regroup, and that's when the work is done. That's when the blood, sweat, and tears are put in. But with the recruit, there's no off-season for recruiting, but with the show, there is an off-season. Because, you know, we want to step back and come back in season two better. We want to come back and learn from our mistakes this season and learn from our strength this season and be better next season.
And like Adrian talked about, a lot of Christians overdo themselves. What I like to think about this is Christians talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk.
What?
So basically what that means is they say they're going to do something, or they say they're Christian, but outside of church or outside in their everyday lives behind closed doors, they don't live by being Christian.
Yeah, and just like you said, man, he's trying to preach, but just like you said, you know, in saying that, of course, he's not talking about every Christian. But there are some of us who, you know, we haven't yet learned, I'll say, how to put feet to our faith. And that may just be the case. We're ignorant to the practicality of it and how to do it. And, you know, that's what we want to do with the recruit, is to open eyes and inspire people and show people by being real that, hey, it don't take, you know, I got to know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but just, hey, if I know one scripture and I live that scripture down to the T, I am doing my best. But continuing to learn, and that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. It's just doing what you know to be right. Doing what you know to be right. And we always talk about how a lot of people, you know, me included, we want to say, oh, show me that in the Bible. Or say, don't do that in the Bible or anything like that. But I can't remember the exact verse. I'm not a Bible scholar, but not yet. But it says that he who knows to do right and does not, to him, that is a sin. And so we want to say, well, that's not a sin. But if you know it's not right, that's a sin. And that, it's as simple as that. You know, if you know it's wrong and you do it, that's a sin. And that's really all it boils down to. If that's the only verse you know, live it. Live it. Really live it. Make good decisions. And I want to take this time to extend the invitation to whoever may be listening that doesn't know Christ on a personal level, on an intimate level, and you haven't accepted Christ into your heart to be the Lord of your life. And I just want to extend this invitation to repeat this prayer with me to welcome him into your heart, into your life, and to really lead you going forward. And if there's anybody who's listening, I really, you know, tonight is a great night. it's a great time, and it may be the season finale, but it's not the end by any means. But it's a great time to really get to know Christ and get to know him on a personal level and take hold of your scholarship. Because, like we said, it's an individual affair. So if you're out there and you want to accept Christ into your life, I ask you just to